Thank you, Father. Good morning. Let me start by thanking you for this great San Diego weather. People have said, don't rely on it. It may not last, huh? I have two tasks this morning. One, to provide a reflection on the readings. And the second, to invite you, motivate you, inspire you, cajole you, guilt you into attending the parish mission. The next four nights, as Father said, tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., right here in the church. First, the readings. The readings today really focus on faith. And I was struck by the last line of today's gospel. The last line of the gospel says, when the Son of Man returns, when Jesus returns, will there be faith on this earth? Wow. That presupposes that there may not be faith on this earth. Interestingly, there was a study, multi-year study, released just this week that said that faith, not just in America and not just with Catholics, but faith around the world is on a decline, a severe decline. Not just people not going to church, but people just simply not believing in something bigger or greater than themselves. When the Son of Man returns, will there be faith on this earth? So I'm going to talk today about how we can look to these three readings and maybe find what we need to do as individuals to make sure there is faith on this earth. Now, when I first heard this and thought about that line, around the world, there's no faith, a lack of faith, I thought, what can I do? I'm an individual. What on earth can I do to affect things around the world? And then I remembered the story of the little boy who went to his father one day and said, Daddy, why is the grass green? Why is sky blue? Why is water wet? Why are you such a nerd? Now, this was a busy father. He had important things to do. After all, there was a football game on. So he said to his son, he said, just a minute. And he looked around and he saw this picture of a map of the world. And he tore it up into 100 little pieces. And he said to his son, take these pieces, go to your room, get some scotch tape. Tape it back together like a jigsaw puzzle. And when you have it taped back together perfect, come back in and I will answer all your questions. Kind of a manipulative dad, huh? Well, you know, he thought he'd have an hour or more. Do you know that young boy had that thing taped back together perfect in 10 minutes? The father was so impressed, he even turned off the television. And he said, how did you do that? How did you get it taped back together so quickly? And the little boy looked up and said, well, Daddy, I saw that on the back of that picture of the world, there was a picture of a family. And I just kind of figured, Daddy, that if I could put the family together, the world would just sort of somehow take care of itself. If we want there to be faith throughout the world, if we want to be a change agent for that faith, it starts with us as individuals and our family, bringing ourselves to faith, bringing our families to faith. Amen? By the way, I say amen quite a lot. You might think I'm a Baptist, but I'm a cradled Catholic, born and raised Catholic from San Diego, California. Maybe that's where the amen comes from. So from the readings today, there are three words that came to mind. In the first reading, the word persistent. In the first reading, we hear of Moses going up to the side of the hill with the staff of God. Now, this is not an ordinary staff. This is the same staff that he threw down onto the ground before Pharaoh, and it changed into a serpent. It's the same staff that he raised to part the Red Sea. The same staff that he raised again to close in the Red Sea and destroy the army of the Egyptians. A very powerful staff. And Moses told his general Joshua that when I hold this staff up, you will win in this battle against Amalek. But if my arm comes down, then Amalek will win. So Moses is on the top of the hill raising that staff. And sure enough, Joshua is winning. But then Moses is becoming tired and his arms are dropping. And then his friends, Aaron and Ur, come and help him, and they give him a rock to sit on, and then they're holding his arms up to help him. And do you know that by holding that staff, Joshua won in that war, that battle against Amalek? When I was thinking about that reading, I looked at a crucifix. And what are Jesus' hands doing? They're up. And it occurred to me for the first time that when Jesus gave himself to that cross and allowed his arms to be outstretched and up, it allows us to win. Amen? Amen? So maybe when we look at a crucifix, we think about this gesture of Jesus. So Moses was persistent. We must be persistent in our own walk of faith. We must be willing to reach out to friends and family when we're feeling tired, when we're feeling disgruntled, when we're discouraged, when our faith walk is not really what it should be. We should make sure that we are persistent in all things in our own walk of faith. The second reading, we hear Paul say that faithfulness always in the things we have learned. And the word I'm using for him is consistent. We must be consistent in our walk of faith. Be consistent in our church attendance, in our obeying the sacraments. Be consistent in our prayer life. Be consistent in loving the people that God has put in our life. You know, sometimes we love people more that we don't even know than we do those closest to us. To be people of faith, we must be consistent to the promises we've made to God, before God, and to the people that God has put in our lives. We must be consistent, and we must be faithful to the things we have learned. And in the gospel reading, we hear about the widow, a feisty widow. This feisty widow gets in the face of a judge, and the judge finally acquiesces. Interestingly, in some Greek translations, even though in our reading today it says the judge gave in because he was afraid that she might do something to him, in some Greek translations it said he was afraid she would give him a black eye. So this is a feisty judge, and I'd like you, and the word I'm using for her is insistent. In fact, she is persistent, consistent, and insistent. And why? Because she believed that she was right. Do you believe that you're right, that your faith is right, that following God and following Jesus is right? Then we have to be persistent, consistent, and insistent. Amen? Amen. When it comes down to it, there's really only two choices, because the judge represents the world, and the widow represents the people of faith. We must be willing to stand strong in this world, stand up against the world. The world wants you to hold on to those peanuts. God is saying, let go, let me, let go, let me. And I was wondering how to explain to you why we should choose God over the world, because the world can look awfully appealing sometimes. It can be very deceptive most of the time. And I was reminded of the young boy who was born without a right arm. And he went to his mother and father one day, he was about 11 years old, and said, Mom, Dad, I would like to learn judo. Parents said, well, judo is a good sport, but it may not be the best sport for somebody missing a right arm. But the boy did as kids will do, please, 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 please. So Mom and Dad acquiesced and said, okay, we will find a coach. And they got the boy together with a coach. From day one, that coach is teaching this young boy one and only one judo move. Day after day, week after week, month after month, one judo move. At the end of about 9 months, that young boy is put into a competition. Do you know he won the first round? He won the second round. He went to the semifinals. He won the semifinals. He got to the finals. He won the finals. He was amazed. And he went to the coach. He said, how did that happen? You taught me only one move. And the coach said, yes, son, but I taught you the single most difficult move in all of judo. And the only way for your opponent to defeat you is to take hold of your right arm. You see, that coach like God sees the possibilities. He sees what we can do. He sees what we can be. The world sees what we're missing. The world sees our problems, and the world likes to remind us of our problems. The world says, hold on to those problems. God says, let go of the problems. Let go of the peanuts. Amen? Now, one way we can remind ourselves to be persistent, consistent, and insistent and grow in our faith is to attend events put on by the church. As luck would have it, there's a parish mission beginning just tonight at 6:30 right here in the church. Tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Now, I'm going to walk in tonight dressed up in costume and makeup as Judas Iscariot. And Judas is going to tell you his story. He's going to talk about meeting Jesus. He's going to talk about why he did what he did. He's going to talk about being a follower of Jesus. He's going to tell you that he loved Jesus and that Jesus loved him. One day I had finished a performance of Judas in Washington, D.C., and a man came up to me and he belted me in the mouth. Why do you laugh when I say that? And I picked myself up and I said, why did you do that? He said, how dare you make excuses for that guy? I said, I didn't make excuses, I made him human. You see, sometimes it's very easy for us to put Judas up there on a wall and say he's a devil. Because when we do that, we say to ourselves, well, I'm not a devil, so I will never fail like Judas failed. But when we realize that we are human, Judas is human, and we can suffer the same things that Judas suffered, then it starts to open our eyes a little bit. Judas becomes a wonderful example for us to learn from. Amen? And I performed Judas around the world in catacombs, even at the Papal Palace in Avignon, France. Judas tonight, 6:30, right here. Tomorrow, I'm going to come out as Simon Peter. And Simon Peter's going to tell you his story. He's going to talk about meeting Jesus and following Jesus, how it felt every time he fell short, said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, disappointed Jesus. How it felt when Jesus called him Satan. Did you know that? How it felt when Jesus looked him in the eyes and said, get away from me, you Satan. Tomorrow night. Now, did you know that Peter was married? How many knew he was married? Because the Bible doesn't mention a wife, does it? But it mentions a mother-in-law. And I've learned you don't get one without the other. So you're going to learn about Peter tomorrow night. Then on Wednesday night, St. Paul. St. Paul, who we hear these readings from most Sundays. Who is Paul? He's going to tell you about his life persecuting Christians. Then he's going to talk about that road to Damascus when Jesus spoke to him on the road. He's going to talk about his changing, his baptism. He's going to talk about his journeys to Athens and Ephesus and Corinth and Galatia. He's going to talk about his beatings and his being arrested. And he's going to talk about his final journey to Rome, where he was beheaded. You'll meet Paul in a different way. And Paul knows that women, for some reason, have had problems with him over the years for things he wrote. He's going to allow the women on Tuesday night to tell him face-to-face why they don't like him. And he's going to tell them why they're wrong. That's Paul on Tuesday night, 6:30. And the final night, as Father said, the beloved Saint Francis of Assisi, who is really like us in the sense that he did not know Jesus, he never met Jesus, and yet he changed his life from being wealthy, having everything. His father was the wealthiest man in Assisi, and gave it up to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you know in 10 short years, living at a time when there was no mass communication, no TV, no internet, no Facebook, no Twitter, he had 10,000 followers within 10 years of him starting his ministry? And what did he call his ministry? I know we think Franciscan, but that actually is wrong. He's going to share all this, his life. And I want you to know that Francis was a whole heck of a lot more than a garden statue. Amen? So that's Wednesday night at 6:30. I encourage you, I personally invite you to be there Each night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, kids are invited. Kids, drag your parents if you have to. Be persistent. And if you feel at the least bit guilty that if you don't come, you're risking the eternal fires of eternal damnation, I want to encourage you in your guilt and invite you again personally the next four nights, 6:30 p.m. May God bless each and every one of you.